And we can talk about LSU baseball. To help us do that, we welcome in WWL.com columnist Jeff Palermo. Hey, Jeff, how are things in Baton Rouge?
Doing well, Dave. An exciting time of the year for LSU baseball fans. This is what they look forward to all year long.
Absolutely. And last year, not so much, but the year before that, very much so. And it reminded us of the heyday of LSU baseball when we expected a trip to Omaha every year. But gosh, competition in the SEC, and I think that's what's really changed, has gotten so much more intense. After LSU showed that baseball could be a huge fan driver, a revenue generator, and popular, we've seen the rest of the SEC really start to compete in baseball the way they didn't used to in the Skip Bertman Gorilla Ball days.
Oh, I mean, so many teams now investing into the program, you know, improving their facilities. Auburn's stadium is fairly new. Vanderbilt is doing renovations. Georgia doing renovations. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And then I really think it is post-COVID, Dave. I think it's been turned up a notch because you're seeing fewer and fewer great high school baseball players electing to go straight to professional baseball. They're turning down those big signing bonuses, and they want to play college baseball. They don't, and I think there's a couple factors for that, Dave, and that is, one, the draft has been shrunk down. It used to be as long as 40 rounds. Now there's 20 rounds, so there's fewer players that are being drafted. NIL helps. You can now
make money in college.
And play college baseball. Yeah, you got to go to school, but you know, you can be smart about your scheduling and what classes you schedule. It's not too difficult to do both. And then, you know,
basket weaving 101. Yeah.
Yes. There you go. And then when you go to play at a place like LSU, you're playing in front of 12, 13,000 fans. You go to minor league baseball, you're playing in front of 1,200, 1,300 fans if you're lucky in some cases. I think you're getting a better a lot of these players, I think, are realizing they're getting a better experience, and it allows them to develop at a better pace. And also in Major League Baseball, before, when they would draft someone, you would sit in the minors for years. Now, as the case what we saw with guys like Alex Bregman and so forth, or even Paul Skeens, you get drafted. Man, if you're really good, maybe you spend 1 year in the minors, and then you're at the show. So because of that, I think the talent in college baseball is much better. You're seeing, especially on the pitching mound, and I think it's led to a better product, a more compelling product, in my mind, for someone that has watched Major League Baseball their entire life.
Yeah, I had a guy come down from Chicago not long ago, and I was watching the LSU baseball game. He says, "Wait, you're watching college baseball?" And I said, "Oh my God, yes, the level of competition in it is fantastic now." And they were just surprised. I said, "Wait, I thought all the best players went to the pros right out of high school." I said, "Not anymore."
No,
that's been a great thing for college baseball. Maybe, I mean, it has. On the flip side, though, it's made it more competitive for LSU, and it's not a given anymore that LSU is going to Omaha every year because they have to face much more difficult competition in the SEC. But that means that when they do emerge from the SEC as a top 8 seed and number 6 seed this year, that's really encouraging, and this must be a really talented Tiger squad.
It certainly is, and it's a team that's, at least going into the SEC tournament, was ranked number 1 in all the major college baseball polls. They've just been very consistent. I think that's, Jay Johnson has defined them or characterized this team as being very consistent. And I would agree with that. Yeah, they got swept at Auburn. That was a low point of the season. But heck, I mean, you know, they're 43-14 and 3 of their losses came right there in one weekend. And they've shown the ability after maybe a tough loss or two to really battle back and win like 3 or 4 in a row. They've played some of the best teams in the league, and they've been able to win a majority of those series. They're really strong on the mound. I think pitching-wise, this might be one of the better pitching staffs they've had in a very, very long time. And they continue to keep developing guys. Jacob Myers, on Saturday. I mean, this guy had trouble throwing strikes earlier in the season. They kept working with him, Nate Yetsky, the pitching coach. And then all of a sudden, you watch him on Saturday in the SEC tournament. He's throwing triple digits, and nobody can hit his fastball. I mean, it's rising. It's moving. He gets four strikeouts in two and a third innings. So, to me, they got certainly enough pitching to bring home another national championship. The question will the bats be there when they really need them? And that's a question mark. I think they'll do fine at the box. They've been able to score a lot of runs at home, and they seem like a better offensive team at home. It's just when they get back on the road and go to Omaha, will they be able to score enough runs to complement the pitching?
Yeah, and Omaha, like Hoover, where the SEC tournament was, home runs come at more of a premium there. It's a more difficult part, especially the new park that they built. It's more difficult to knock balls out because of the conditions, the distances, and everything else there. But you got to love the fact that LSU is a top eight seed. They're going to play all of their games at home, even if they're not the quote-unquote home team. They'll all be at the box through the regional and hopefully the super regional. And I've been hearing a lot of analysts feel pretty good about the level of competition they're facing, at least in the regional. We'll have to wait and see who they would potentially play in a super regional. Take us through what happens when the tournament starts in the regional, who they play, and how you feel about the opponents.
So it all begins Friday at 2:00, weather permitting, when they take on Little Rock. And Little Rock has the lowest RPI out of all 64 teams that made the NCAA tournament. So it's the second time, LSU last hosted a regional in 2023, and Tulane, who had the lowest RPI, I think Tulane only had 15 wins, came to Baton Rouge, and once again, LSU gets the lowest RPI team coming to their regional. So that's
rating percentage index.
Yes, yes.
Which means strength of schedule and all other factors combined to determine how good is this team.
Yeah, their RPI is 243, and there's 300-plus teams playing Division I college baseball. So they're among the—
And what is LSU's?
LSU came in at number 10 when it was all said and done.
Oh, wow. Okay. 243 versus 10. Got it.
Dallas Baptist, who's the number 2 seed, RPI of 20. Rhode Island, RPI 68. But Little Rock gets in because they won their conference tournament. They won the Ohio Valley Conference tournament. They were the 8th seed. And they just went on a remarkable run where they won 5 games in 4 days, and it all came together for them, much like it did for Tulane in 2023. So you look at LSU playing Little Rock, that should be a victory on Friday. The other matchup then is Dallas Baptist and Rhode Island. And, Rhode Island has been a team that has shown that they're a pretty good offensive team. But the conference that they play in, the Atlantic 10, is not very strong. And in fact, they're the weakest number 3 seed when you look at the RPI in the NCAA tournament. So LSU's got the weakest number 4 seed, and they got the weakest number 3 seed in the Baton Rouge Regional, which is why a lot of analysts, including myself, is saying, man, this path to Omaha, or the road to Omaha, doesn't have a lot of potholes in it. It seems pretty smooth. I will say Dallas Baptist is a strong number 2. This is a program that's used to playing in the NCAA tournament 14 years in a row now. They've made it to a regional. They're one of 5 programs to say that. LSU is one of them as well. This is a veteran team as well, especially in the infield. All these guys have been around for 3-4 years. I think that is always a scary factor when you got a team that's got a lot of veteran leadership, and they got some decent arms. LSU played them back in February. They won. That was just one game, 7-3. I think whatever happened in February on a Tuesday night, or Wednesday night, I should say, in Arlington, Texas, I don't think that really matters what's going to happen this weekend in Baton Rouge. So I think Dallas Baptist I don't think you can overlook them if you're an LSU fan. But again, LSU goes into this regional as a heavy favorite to win it.
All right. When we come back, we'll ask Jeff about the Super Regional and the potential opponents that LSU faces should they emerge from the regional and then go to a Super Regional in Baton Rouge with a trip on the line to the College World Series in Omaha. I'll say this, after watching LSU baseball all season, this is a team that's built for double elimination. This is a team that's built for three-game series. This is a team that, while they may falter and stumble in one game, they're probably not going to do it in three games. So let's hope that you are right and that there are not a lot of potholes in the road, at least in the regional. We'll preview who they could face in a Super Regional after this with Jeff Palermo on WWL. Hey, it's time to show Dad some love, and WWL wants to help you. How would you like to win a Macy's $1,500 shopping spree just in time for Father's Day? All you got to do is go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win. It's a national contest and really easy to enter. So whether Dad needs new clothes, shoes, outdoor gear, the latest gadgets, a Macy's $1,500 shopping spree would really go a long way. A special prize for a special man. Enter at WWL.com. Good luck and happy Father's Day from WWL. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. And Jeff Palermo, our WWL LSU columnist, is with us on the live line. And Jeff, we talked about how things look pretty favorable for LSU in this regional this weekend as they try to advance to a Super Regional and then the College World Series. So let's assume that things do go well for the Tigers. They make it through the regional and they're hosting a Super Regional. Who does it look like could be coming to Baton Rouge, and how much of a challenge do they present?
Well, there were two things that I was looking for when right before the pairings were, well, going into Selection Monday, if you would, for baseball, when the pairings were unveiled at 11 a.m., one is LSU, a national seed. Felt really confident about that would happen. And, yeah, we found that out right at the beginning of the show. The other was, okay, the Baton Rouge Regional, which one is that going to be? Who's going to be in the other regional that LSU would face in a Super Regional? Will it be another SEC team? Because I think the SEC has proven, based on the fact that you have six teams from the Southeastern Conference among the top eight, six out of the top seven are all SEC teams. That tells you it's the strongest, strongest conference
by far.
And you really don't want to face an SEC. You would like a 2 week break from facing an SEC team. The next SEC team that you want to face is in Omaha. You'll take it then. You just don't want to face one in the Super Regionals. And I think LSU catches a break here too. Not to say that Clemson, who LSU will play the winner of the Clemson Regional, and Clemson's a very good team out of the ACC, but when you look at their team ERA of 4.95, and I'm a big believer in pitching means so much in postseason, that's not going to scare you. I mean, that's 68th best in the country. The number two seed in the Clemson Regional is West Virginia, an interesting team. They got better pitching. They've won a lot on the road. But again, the Big 12, not a very dominant conference. In fact, the Big 12 did not receive, not one team out of the Big 12 is among the top 16 and is a regional host. So that gives you an idea of how the Big 12 is looked at by the tournament selection committee. Now, Kentucky is a three seed in that Clemson regional. LSU played Kentucky in the 2023 Super Regionals, and that was a really good team, and Kentucky plays a unique style of ball where they're stealing, they're bunting, they're doing all kinds of things against you. But this was a Kentucky team that barely made the NCAA tournament, and if they somehow win the Clemson Regional and come to Baton Rouge again, LSU heavy favorites to beat Kentucky in a Super Regional series. So I think LSU catches a break here. I mean, look at Arkansas. Arkansas is the number three seed nationally, and if they win their regional, they could play Tennessee, the defending national champs, in a Super Regional series. I mean, there's no way that Arkansas would sign up for that. You don't want to face Tennessee.
They'd much rather LSU's path.
Right. Georgia, the number seven seed, they could play Ole Miss in a Super Regional series. LSU just saw how good Ole Miss is as far as they're pitching. They just got to the SEC tournament. That's a hot team right now. You don't want to face Ole Miss in a Super Regional series. And if it isn't Ole Miss that makes it, Georgia could play their big rival, Georgia Tech, in a Super Regional series. You don't want it. No, you don't want any of that kind of stuff. So, I think LSU catches a break here. You get a Clemson team that's good. I don't think they're great. And it should be, again, a team that LSU should be able to handle and get to Omaha.
As long as they can get those bats going, you got to feel pretty good because, the SEC tournament was not any sort of wonderful demonstration of LSU's offensive power.
No, very frustrating to see them only get two hits over the last 15 innings of that tournament. And it has to get better. I think if we're talking, Dave, the day after LSU's season, and it's not after them winning a national championship, I think we'll be talking about, well, they just didn't score enough runs, Dave. I think that is going to be their Achilles heel, something where the offense just goes flat in Omaha. And, yeah, maybe they score two or three runs, but they, even despite LSU's great pitching, they give up five or six runs or four or five runs, and they end up losing. Baseball is a game of randomness, and the way to take the randomness out of baseball is to score a bunch of runs and blow out your opponent.
I wish they had that big heavy hitter at the DH position who could come in and you could count on them to bat at least 350 every game, but they just don't have that one person this year that they can put on the DH spot that you can really count on to get on base time and time again.
Well, I mean, and you look back at that 2023 team, you know, you had Dylan Cruz, you had Tommy Tanks, and then you had all these veteran hitters too, the Trey Morgans, the Cade Belosos. I mean, those guys were just so important to what they offensively, what they did. I mean, again, and that's what scares me a little bit about Dallas Baptist, because they are a veteran team that LSU will most likely face in their own regional. That 2023 team, just a lot of veteran sticks in that lineup, a lot of guys that have seen a lot of pitching. Now, this team has seen a lot during the course of the season, because we've talked about just how talented the pitching staffs are in the Southeastern Conference and the pitchers that they face week in and week out. So they've grown from that. But, you know, other than Jared Jones, he's the one guy that's been around for a lot and has seen a lot of it. I mean, he's the one big, you know, Daniel Dickinson's a good hitter, but this is his first year in the SEC. You know, a lot of these other guys, it's been, Chris Stansfield has been around, but that team, Braden Joubert in 2023, I mean, just wherever you look, those guys, they had a lot of good veteran presence on that team. And that was one of my concerns going into this year, was that just not a lot of guys that have been around. So you'll be leaning on the Josh Pearsons of the world for LSU to get you a big hit. That's why you saw him pinch hit late in the game in the SEC tournament. Jay Johnson was rolling the dice, hoping that he would get a big hit to keep that game alive. And I found it interesting that he pinched hit for Stephen Milam, a guy that has really struggled with the bat this season, only hitting 200 in SEC play. And that was one of your best hitters at postseason time last year. It'd be nice to see his bat come around here for the next couple of weeks to help push LSU towards the national title.
Yeah, somebody find that bat and bring it to the plate and let's go, because that's what we need, is just a little bit offense with this great pitching staff. Jeff Palermo, always a pleasure. Anything else you want to share? Folks can read more from Jeff. LSU earns top 8 national seed. Road to Omaha doesn't seem too difficult, as posted right now at WWL.com.
Well, the only thing I would add is the weather, Dave. That will be the fact. There is no coach in college baseball that studies radars and maps and weather than Jay Johnson. And so we could have some long days and nights at Alec Box Stadium over the next couple of days, because we are in our rainy season at this point.
Yeah, and the forecast is for, heat, humidity, and rain every day over the next 7 days. So, it's the summer pattern in Southeast Louisiana.
Yes, it is.
It is what it is. Jeff, we appreciate it, and we know that you'll be there for every pitch and keeping us posted here on WWL and on our website at WWL.com. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Look at that. It's already Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. Weekend, it's crazy.
There you go. All right. Jeff Palermo here on WWL.